The next issue it talks about is environmental hazards. That's things like asbestos and lead-based paint and radon and methane gas and all these issues that are potential problems. If the buyer cares about these issues, then they should have them investigated. Now, we do give the buyer a handbook, you know, the guide, the environmental hazards guide. They're supposed to get a copy of that. Do they read it? Probably not. So understand that this is an issue that's being put on the buyer to say, if this is something that's important to you, you're supposed to investigate it during your inspection period. So then don't come back to us later and say, nobody told me. Because the contract says you may consult an appropriate professional or read the booklets, the environmental hazard booklets. So this is put on the buyer. The next issue is earthquake and flooding. Is the property susceptible to these conditions? Well, of course, we typically get an environmental hazard report, which should tell a client, are they in an earthquake zone? Are they in a flooding zone? The next issue is fire hazard and other insurance. The contract is contingent upon the buyer investigating the insurability of this property and also about themselves. I talked about that earlier. It says the availability and the cost of necessary insurance may vary, and it also may not be available. So this is something they need to investigate. If it's a rural property, they also might want to investigate the fire hazard areas. If you remember the major fire that happened up in Oakland many years ago, the number one reason that houses burned down wasn't because they weren't available. The problem was the fire trucks couldn't get up the street. So is that something your buyer might care about? They love living in this really remote area, but maybe it's a road that the fire truck can't get up. Or maybe there's not a fire hydrant within X number of feet of the house. Or all the issues that an insurance person might think of. These need to be investigated during this investigation period. The next issue is about building permits and zoning. We talked about that issue earlier. The buyer needs to investigate that during their inspection period. So if it looks like to you as a real estate agent that there has been remodeling done on the property, then you need to advise your buyer that they should investigate that during the investigation period rather than waiting until after close of escrow and said, nobody told me. It also talks about governmental restrictions. What does that mean? It means that based on the property or based on the neighborhood or based on 100 other issues, they may or may not be able to add to the property. So if you have a client that is buying this property and they specifically have told you it's our intention to remodel it, to move it, to expand it, to whatever they have in mind, they need to investigate whether that's possible with an architect and or the government agency during their inspection period. The next issue the form talks about is rental property issues. And there are all kinds of restrictions that come from cities and counties that put restrictions on the rent you can charge, how many occupants you can have, rights to terminate, rent control, all kinds of issues. So if your buyer is buying a property for income purposes, they need to investigate this during the inspection period. Okay, the next issue they talk about is security and safety, and it warns that state and local laws might require installation of barriers, alarms, self-locking mechanisms, all kinds of issues around safety issues, especially around swimming pools and hot tubs. So if these are issues that the buyer cares about, then they should investigate that again during this inspection period. The next and last thing that's discussed in the contract is really a big thing that obviously should be talked about with your clients, and it's called neighborhood area, subdivision conditions, personal factors. And this includes things like schools. Do they care about school scores? They should investigate that. Proximity. Does the schools provide buses to bus your kids to school? Do they charge extra for that? What about law enforcement issues or crime? That needs to be investigated. The proximity of registered felons, you know, we can check that online. That's that Megan's Law thing. Fire protection, where's the closest fire station? We need to find out in this technology where we live in, is the property wired for phones? I've had clients move into a property thinking they were going to get 3 or 4 phones. They couldn't because it wasn't wired for that, and it cost them a lot to get that done. What about wireless connections? Is DSL available? Is cable available? Is, you know, who knows what's available? We need to find that out if it matters to the client. What about cell phone coverage? You know, in my own house, I can barely get cell phone coverage. Is that something that matters to the client? What about its location? Does it matter that it backs up to a Safeway that's going to have a situation at 4 o'clock in the morning with the trucks delivering food? Is it near an agricultural area? I'm recording this program in a studio that is very close to a rural area that happens to have mushroom farms. and they don't especially smell good. And there are more issues around rural property that have to do with the rights to farm. I had a case where the client moved into a neighborhood, and it was kind of on the edge of town, and right next to it was a farm that grew some kind of agricultural product, and they woke up one morning, and here is a biplane spraying pesticides over the field, and of course it was drifting onto their house as well, and they were very, very concerned about that, and you can imagine you would be too. So there is a form that we use in our area, I don't know if you use it in your area, where it talks about the right to farm. A farmer has a right to do that. They have a right to make dust. If you've ever been around a field that's being disked, then you know that it looks like there's a tornado going on with this big dust cloud coming. Or, as I mentioned earlier about the mushroom farm, you've got odors that happen in agriculture areas where cows and all kinds of things. So city people that are going out to hug trees and live in nature have to think about these issues, and they need to investigate them during their inspection period. What are some of the other areas that are concerned about? Anything that might cause noise, like trains or construction in the area? Or what about airplanes or traffic? Wild and domestic animals? Homeowners association documents are obviously one of the things they should check into. Is the property in an historic district or any other factor that might be important to a culture or religion? So this is all the issues that are covered on this inspection advisory, but you can see how important they are. And I tell you, as a buyer's agent, you should probably spend as much time on this as you do the rest of the contract, because this is the areas where the buyer is going to be unhappy and sometimes file a lawsuit in the future because somebody didn't tell them, and they're going to blame you for this. You know, one of the things that would really help you now that we've gone over this contract is realize that every clause you need is not necessarily pre-printed in the contract. And Carr has really helped us with this. We ought to be really glad that they've done this. Carr has just reprinted their new forms book. This is a book of more than 200 different forms that Carr has prepared for us. Now, you don't always need to use every one of those, but I don't know how many times that I was kind of looking for a clause or what should I say in my counteroffer, and I flipped through the forms book and said, there it is right there. Maybe I didn't use the whole form, but I was able to pull out one of the clauses that really worked for my situation, because every situation in real estate, as you know, is different. So I would suggest that one of the things you would really benefit by would be to go to your board store and get one of these books. They're about $20, $25, but they're really worthwhile, and I think they will really help your practice.